Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doc.
Doc Stanley, Sports Today, Blog Talk Radio, the Trust and Government Network. That's going to ease through the day, do something later. Little Pete jumped on the phone with the big A. Hey, Doc. That's my nephew there, Little Pete. So we're going to talk shortly about some things they talked about, and then we're going to move on. Knicks are trailing by two. Last count, 52-50 at the Garden at the Hawks. Largest crowd in an arena. Pandemic. First time they made the playoff in 8 years. 14,000 plus at MSG, fourth seed. I think you got their coach as a coach of the year, along with Doc Rivers. Yeah, what I liked about him the other day, they talked about situation in the past, and he talked as if he said, you know, we got screwed that year where Patrick came off the bench, he suspended him, could have won a championship. I just liked the fact that he had a sense of history and already a sense of containment and belonging. Well, I thought that was on the money. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Guard Network. Happy Sunday. In the background, Sports In Depth, our theme song. Good luck some out there, too. Oh yeah. Good luck some. But it's going to go back tomorrow, back down. But, hey, Miss Fort Lazy even more. Got my Professor William Madison. I won't just call me. I have to get back to him right after the show. But we're going to talk a little basketball. A couple of things here, little Pete. I said, hey, let me stop. You know, so often Pete calls, Jump Shot calls, Lady A calls. I need to do a show. It was Sunday. So we're going to get into it. As we always do, open up with a gospel song. M. Cook, Memphis Garment.
So very long, but she heard my Jesus was passing by, so she joined the gathering throng. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, what are you trying to do? She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made. She cried, oh, and oh, and oh, and oh, said if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. And oh, she spent her money here and there until she had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. touch me. She said it was I who just wanna touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole right now. She stood there crying, oh, 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 oh.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
And with that, it's time to be led into prayer by John Coltrane. Good morning. Have a beautiful, happy Sunday. And to everything, there is a season. And a time to every purpose under heaven. Ecclesiastics, the 30th exact verse from Ecclesiastics. We also get this coming in. We're going to shoot another one for you. Our Sunday noon show. Good morning. God has taught me that I never need to worry about tomorrow. I survive today. I am alive and dealing with today. With God's help, I can face tomorrow and whatever may come my way. Enjoy a full day. And good evening, wherever you are. Pray that God's love will be with you. Wherever you go, I pray he will protect you. Whatever you do, I pray that joy will fill your heart, because you deserve every good gift wonderful life can hold. God bless you all. Doc Stanley, sponsored at Block Talk Radio, Trust in God Network. And as always, Blue Pete just calls me out of the blue, got an argument. So he came up with something. So now him and the Big A, we're going to listen to what they had to say, and we will talk about basketball. As I said, the last count, the Knicks were trailing, but maybe that may have changed by now, but they're playing at the Garden, and I salute them for really a tremendous season. They had their winning streak. They had to win some games that they had to win. Fourth seed, that way they got the home court advantage. We just want to take a hats off them for just really doing a great job. I think their coach definitely has to be considered for Coach of the Year. I wouldn't have a problem with him being picked Coach of the Year. I think he's the guy. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio. That's the Garden Network. Now, oh yeah. I think it's who should join us too. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, Trusting Garden Network. I got a little Pete. Big A. Gentlemen, we were talking basketball. Lou Pete, start the argument that you implemented this whole show with.
Yes. So basically what's going on right now is my friend Anthony here made an argument that T.J. McConnell of Sixth Man of the Indiana Pacers is better than most of the six men like Derrick Rose on the New York Knicks, Jordan Clarkson on the Jazz, Terrence Ross on the Orlando Magic. So basically, now T.J. McConnell does beat some of those guys in stats, but I'm trying to tell Anthony that these guys have better games in terms of the regular season. So Terrence Ross, you know, he dropped
30
points.
What we're going to do, Big A, I want you to come here, Big A. I need some stats. How many minutes has he played as composer Rose? Give him some minutes, Big A.
All right, how you guys doing?
We got Rose and we got McConnell. How many minutes have they both played during the season coming to the bench?
Okay, the first thing I want to say is that I think actually McConnell is one of those guys. When we were making this argument, me and Nick, I didn't want to use the stats because I didn't think McConnell is one of those guys. The stats don't show how good he really is. Like, you have to actually watch him to see, you know, oh, this guy's really – really good. Like, he knows how to play the game. And but let me get those minutes for you. McConnell's McConnell's averaging about 26 minutes per game. Same with Derrick Rose.
And give me shooting percentage.
The shooting percentage for McConnell is, give me one sec.
56%.
McConnell, yeah, she's shooting about 56%.
And Rose?
Rose is 45. shooting Hold on. Rose is
47,
shooting. 47, 45? He's shooting
47 this year. Okay, and who's got the most assists? Give me stats. The stats with assists.
D-Rose got 4.2 this year. And McConnell's averaging 6.6. My bad, 6.6.
Okay, so 6.6. That's let's make that 7. There's 3 more. I mean, yeah, Lil Pete, we went through this. I just the stats show he's the better guy. I mean, he's coming up the bench. He's playing the same amount of minutes. He's getting you more points. Well, how many points are they averaging? How many points is he getting? How many points is Rose getting?
McConnell only averages 9, but D-Rose averages 14, or 14 and a half.
Oh, so he's averaging 9 points, and Rose is averaging 14.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I didn't know that figure. He's scoring 5 less points, but he's shooting a higher percentage. He's getting you. What about rebounds? How are they doing rebounds?
McConnell has 4. D-Rose has
2.6
this year.
I think McConnell's a guy. Especially now if you look in the realm of scoring lesser points and yet being more productive. I mean, you're passing the ball. I think he's a sixth man. Dr. Sandy Sports, the Block Talk Radio, the Trusting Guard Network. Little quick one here. We tie this one. Little Pete and Big A, the NBA, Knicks are playing. They were trailing last time. We'll find out more about that later on. And then Little Pete, you talked about Rondo. You talked about experience. I've long said that your experience is just vastly overplayed. I mean, you know, it's something that you throw in, you know, if you want to give a guy a raise. But, I mean, I guess I can name you 5 rookies that would beat any experienced team you put together. You know, Oscar Robinson at guard. Give me Jordan, the other guard. I got Chamberlain in the middle, or Russell. I got Chamberlain out there. Elgin Baylor. Nobody's going to beat that team. I mean, experience is overplayed. You know, you're either a good player or you're a bad player. But you're not a good player. It's like baseball. You just think about steroids. Okay, steroids doesn't make you a better hitter. Doesn't make you a better fielder. Okay, which I said this about McGuire. You know, the guy hit 49 home runs as a rookie. That's a rookie record. Okay. Now, so if the ball is 327 and McGuire hits it 342 naturally, and you says he's using steroids at 362, he still hits it over the fence. I think too much has been made at the hypocrisy of baseball, you know, when they're still having issues with the minute amount of black players in the game, but don't have any of the minute amount of black managers, which only have down 2. So, but my thing here is experience gets overplayed. Same thing people talk about, you know, Little Pete is a cancer in the clubhouse. Little Pete is hitting 347, okay? So the guy you said is not a cancer in the clubhouse hitting 252. I've never heard, gentlemen, let's go to the scoreboard today. Yankees 2-1 over the Red Sox, Detroit 3-1 win over Cleveland. Hey, Chicago White Sox clubhouse beat the Texas Rangers. I never heard it. The football score, Giants 10, Patriots 11, Saints 27, and the clubhouse came back and beat. I never heard that. I mean, it's part of the stupidity, excuse the terminology, fellas, the bullshit of these writers. If you like a guy, he's a cancer in the club. I don't understand how a guy can hit 347 and be a cancer in the clubhouse. I can't understand how a guy can give me 27 points, pull down 11 rebounds, and be a cancer in the clubhouse. I mean, am I sitting here thinking, I don't like Barry Bonds so much that I'm going to strike out? Or, you know, I got a problem with Magic Johnson, so I'm going to miss all my free throws. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I just, you know, Burns has his place. Now, the only time we talked about this, Dr. Ennis wasn't at Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Network, a sports show, Sports In Depth, Little Pete and Big A, the NBA. The only time, and, you know, it's remarkable that he didn't get any credit for us. The only time we experienced, and only because he was the great player, the greatest all-around player for the game, the Milwaukee Bucks, when they won the championship in the 71-72 season, that was the only team that ever shot 50% from the floor. Understand that? And every starter averaged double figures. I remember talking to the great Oscar Robinson. He said, you know what, I had to find the weakest link on that team and make it better. And when you talk about, we talked about little Pete about point guards, shooting guards. Yeah, come on, Pete, Big A. If in my day, if you couldn't dribble the ball, you couldn't shoot the ball. You weren't a guard. You didn't dribble and shoot it.
So I want to tell you the reason for my veteran comment on the game, of why veterans impact a sports team overall as a team. Because here's the thing, Doc. You're right. So players got to be able to have the skill set in order to win the title. But if you think about it, it's like anything else. I take a boxer. So say like a really good, talented young fighter like Shakur Stevenson, for instance. He's coming up. He's 11-0, okay? Now, the point that I'm trying to make is that if you have the right veterans, bringing in, I'll give you an example. When Mike Tyson got trained by Customato, okay? Customato is one of the greatest trainers who ever lived. The training aspect of the practicing in terms, so when someone trains a player or a fighter, they're making them better because the knowledge is going into that player. It's only going to improve him. So when I talk about players like Rajon Rondo or players like Richard Jefferson that are reserve players on a sports team, I don't mean that they're gonna score the most points or bring the best stats. What I'm trying to say is that the experience level that they're gonna bring in terms of veterans.
Pete, I agree with you. They are an advantage, okay? But they're not much of an advantage. I mean, it's like Barry Bonds. He became batting coach of the Marlins. He said, look, understand this. A guy that hit 217 last year, I'm not going to make him a 300 hitter. You either can hit or you can't hit. What I can do is a guy that can hit, I can help him hit better. Because you can hit, there's some tips. But a guy that can't hit. I mean, the veterans have their place. I agree with that. But, you know, and then what about the guy that doesn't listen to the veteran? You know, and in some cases,
Doc,
I can understand in baseball, when you got a guy who's a batting coach, he's a lifetime 257 hitter, and for the last 3 years I hit 330. What can he tell me about hitting? A pitcher.
They ruined Doc Gooden.
So, they had Mel Stoudemire, and Joe Black told me, had Mel Stoudemire had Doc Gooden's fastball, he would have been throwing his curveball. They changed Doc Gooden's motion, and the late, great Don Drysdale was saying, hey, he changed his motion? The guy said, well, yeah, you know, they wanted him to be able to hold runners on. Don Drysdale said, what runners? What runners? If it ain't broke, it's nothing to fix. I mean, veterans have their place, but it's important who the veteran is, too, because I'm going to listen to Willie Mays and Clemente and Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio and Seaver, okay, and Gibson a lot more than I'm going to listen to Nellie Fox. You know what I mean? A guy that can't hit? I mean, come on, understand. Tell me where to go. But I think too much is made of veteran leadership, certain aspects. You know, it's like a manager. You know, Go ahead, Lupe.
So basically, what's it called? I'll give you an example, okay? Michael Jordan, regarded to as the best player who ever played the game, okay? Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team, okay? Now, what I'm trying to say is that Michael Jordan got cut. Now, technically, Michael Jordan must have had some role model, and this is where I bring up guys like Phil Jackson. You see, a guy like LeBron James, he had Tyronn Lue as a coach, okay? Now, LeBron, he's a great ball player. Okay, I'm not saying that Jordan is better than LeBron. I'm not saying LeBron is better than Jordan. I'm just saying that coaching, in terms of the mindset that the veteran gives you, every player starts somewhere. Every fighter starts somewhere. And that's why I think that the leadership that your role model brings you is going to have a big impact on your career. And that's why I think that someone like Phil Jackson is part of that reason why Michael Jordan won 6 titles. You know what I mean?
I don't buy that. Phil Jackson, to me, is the most overrated coach to coach basketball. There's no team that Phil Jackson coached that you couldn't have coached. He turned down the job to coach the Nets, and then what did he do as the president of the Knicks? Nothing. What did he do the 2 years that Michael Jordan wasn't there? Nothing. What happened that last time in L.A. when they got swept in Detroit by the Pistons? Wasn't he the coach there then? So, I mean, my thing is, I think Jackson is vastly overrated. You have a good team, That's the deal. But, I mean, there's no team. He went from the Bulls to the Lakers. You don't think any – I mean, there's some people say, well, he brought a certain – you know, possibly. Players win the games. Coaches and managers don't win games. They lose games. But what did Phil Jackson do 2 years – I'm asking a question. What did Phil Jackson do the 2 years Michael Jordan wasn't there? Did they win the championship?
Nothing.
No.
Okay. What did he do his last year as coach of the Lakers when they got swept after tying the series in L.A.? They got swept in Detroit. What did he do then? Did he win the series?
No.
Okay. So, I mean, so what are you telling me? I mean, no, I understand what you're saying. It has its place, but it doesn't have that big of a place as it sometimes supposedly alleged to be. Because, I mean, there are certain guys that, you know, I remember Joe DiMaggio talking to Leti Gomez's daughter, and it's a book. And Joe DiMaggio was hitting 400, was leading the league in hitting. He won the batting title, but he had some injuries. So, and he went to the manager and he said, look, you know, I got some injuries, but could I possibly, you know, take some time off? The manager told him no. You know, people think you're a cheese champion. Cheese champion. They had already clinched the pennant. He was hitting 400. And it was something the manager never got. The manager screwed him. I mean, it's, you know, it's experience has its place, but you have to have some talent with it, okay? I don't care what kind of cake you're baking. You know, it depends on the frosting that you put on it. And I think, yes, and all the sportscasters do. Well, you know, it's like in boxing. Oh, that left hand hurt him. It's left hand. I mean, how many times did a pitcher do? Oh man, he's doing a bad pitch. The late Bill Shannon told me a story. He comes into the locker room. Bob Turley was hit by Hector Lopez. He said, "You couldn't hit a ball any further." And he walked into the dressing room and he saw Bob Turley. He said, "Yeah, you probably want to get that pitch back." He said, "No, that pitch was exactly where I wanted it." Bob Foster, after being knocked out Muhammad Ali, they walk into the dressing room. He's sitting like in a daze. And they said, well, you'll probably want to clear your head. He's looking. He said, no, my head's clear. He said, hey, I couldn't envision a man that big with hands that fast. So there's welterweights whose hands are not that quick. So sometimes things not always as they seem. I understand what you're saying, Pete. I think too much is made of experience. Too much is made of the clubhouse. That's the big thing now. It seems like a lot of times you want to dog a minority player, but you know, it's clubhouse don't win games. The players on the field win games. Experience has its place, but you gotta have the talent. If little Pete ain't a jump shot shooter, okay, if Big A is not a rebounder, well, I can't enhance his ability to rebound. He doesn't have it. That's what Barry Bonds told him. You know, little Pete is a 317 hitter. I can help Pete get to 320. Big A hitting 290, I can help him. But this guy hitting 257, I can't do nothing with him. He can't hit. I need to work with an object that has the talent. And too much is made of experience, and too much is made of the clubhouse, in my opinion. Dr. Kennedy, Sports and Depth, it's the Big A. And Lou Pete, talking basketball, Knicks opening up their playoff run tonight. They were losing the last we heard. We're trying to get update score for you as we're going. We're talking a little basketball here. Come on, Pete. What else we got, gentlemen? My point to that, we're talking about great guards. And Oscar Robertson, to me, validated he was the greatest guard that ever lived. And he did that when he retired from basketball. It hit me 2 weeks ago. I said, wait a minute. You know, when Oscar Robertson retired from basketball, he's the second highest scorer in the history of the game. He had been fouled more than anybody else and made the most free throws, and yet he was number one in assists. So me, if you're talking about point guard, well, he was the all-time leader in assists when he retired. If you're talking about shooting guard, he was the second highest scorer and the only guard, okay, that scored that many points in the history of the game. Me, that's both of them combined. The greatest point guard, the greatest shooting guard. Well, I don't buy that kind of nonsense, though. But, yeah, and you guys today, you have point guards, you have shooting guards. My day, if you're a guard that couldn't dribble or couldn't shoot a jump shot, you weren't a guard. And people talk about power forwards. What's power forwards? They're the name that nobody talks about. Our Pettit averaged 26 points and 16 rebounds a game career. Bob Pettit, along with Julius Erving and Jerry West, are the only three players who started every All-Star game they were in. Bob Pettit, Jerry West, and Julius Dr. J. Irving. But nobody talks about him. You know, it's, you know, but like I'm saying, I think the stats here prove that the guy in Indiana is a better sixth man. I think Jackson gets too much credit as being a great coach, and I think we saw how much he didn't know when he came here and became president of the Knicks. Oh, he's going to bring the winning ways here? No. He wasn't going to win here unless he brought Scotty and Michael with him. It was that simple. And, you know, he lost when Michael wasn't there. You talk about Mike, well, the 2 years he wasn't there, he lost. Then he even lost with Shaquille and Kobe. So I don't think he's the greatest coach in the world. I think any team that he ever coached, anybody else could have coached. And I think outstanding coach has been Larry Brown, who walked in a good position and wound up getting the championship in Detroit. But, you know, Jackson had a chance to coach the Nets. I heard he didn't do it. But then he was going to bring the winning ways and that winning formula to New York. What happened? Nothing. Mark Stanley, Sports and Death, Block Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio.
You're listening to Sports and Death on Block Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. The Doc Stanley and his Fox, where we rope the rumors, solve side issues, and brand the truth. Trust in God.
Into basketball, had to get updated score for you on that Nick game. And they're at Magic Gun. Okay, little Pete, Big A, we got some more time left. What we got here? What else you want to shoot at me? I mean, experience has its place. Here you go. Come on, Pete. Go ahead.
Well, basically, another point that I like to make was that now, as far as deciding who is the best basketball player of all time, all right? Now, me personally, I find it very difficult right now. Now, this might be this is my opinion. I'm not saying that my opinion is 100% correct, but what I think is that so in order to really, really say who is the best player, like all around player. Not by position, one player. You got to look at the points. You got to look at the rebounds, the steals, their leadership, how they changed the way that the team played. You know, and this is where a lot of players, like you got a lot of players: Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, LeBron, Wilt. All of the players, you know, they all did great. But the way how I look at it is that I also look at what era. That had the most competition. You know what I mean? So I'll give you an example. Michael Jordan, okay? Michael Jordan played in an era where there was, you know, you had Karl Malone and John Stockton. You had a lot of great teams. But if you think about it, Bill Russell played against Wilt Chamberlain. You know, there's a lot of players that played against each other. But the way how I look at it is, Doc, I think LeBron James, okay? And you might disagree with me on this one, but I think LeBron James, anyone, had it the toughest when it comes to facing a real super team. Because if you think about it, Doc, I want you to think about it. LeBron.
Hold
James,
up, Pete. Hold up, Pete. Back up. Now you're saying you think Jordan's era was the best competitive era?
I think every era was a competitive era. All right. Before.
Big A, you're in this too. Okay. So you're saying that era of Magic, Bird, Jordan, the best era.
Absolutely. What I'm trying to say
okay.
is
all
that
right, look, Big A, you got a throw on this here?
What I'm trying to say is Doc, is that...
Good, Pete.
Yeah, so, Doc, the point I'm trying to make is that LeBron James, okay, LeBron James faced a super team, okay? When Kyrie Irving left the team, okay, LeBron was left with Kevin Love and a bunch of young players, okay? Now, LeBron knows how to make things work on the court. He's a great he has a role. He's like a father to the upcoming players. You know what I mean? So in terms of LeBron James faced a team of Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson. Now, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are two of the best five sharpshooters of all time. Right? On top of that, you have DeMarcus Cousins, who is back then was a very, very good center, probably in the top five centers, in my opinion, in the league that day.
Hold on. In the era of Michael Jordan, as you said, they had the top five centers?
No. DeMarcus Cousins was in the top five centers in that year. Not in Michael Jordan's era, LeBron's era.
Hey, this is my theory. Big A, you got something to say here before I rabbling off?
Yeah, I actually have a thought and a question. I guess I'll start off with my question. So before you were saying to be a guard, you need to have a handle and a shot.
In my day, you couldn't be a guard if you couldn't dribble the ball and shoot the ball. There was no such thing as a point guard and a shooting guard. I mean, the game is on the line, and the point guard has got the ball at the top of the key. He can't shoot it, right? Because in today's game, the point guard can't shoot. He's not a good shooter. So you're not a good shooter. So now, what good is he to me? I'm trying to kill the clock, and the shooting guard has the ball. I need the point guard to have the ball to kill the clock. And if you follow him, he goes to the free throw line. So, I never saw this small forward, power forward, shooting guard, point guard. Joe Dumars, the same. They asked him, when he came, are you a shooting guard or point guard? I'm a guard.
Exactly.
Back in the day, Oscar Robertson and Jerry West, they came out of college All-American forwards. All-American first-team forwards. And both went to the backcourt in the pros as if they had just sipped a cup of tea. There was no problem at all. And it made them two of the greatest guards. They were big guards, but they had no problem going from All-American first team. For Oscar Robertson came out of college, the college player of the year every year, the highest amount of points scored by a forward in the history of the NCAA at that time, 33 points, 15 rebounds, and 7 assists a game from the forward slot. And he comes to the NBA, him and Jerry West, and go to the guard position. And then how well did Oscar do at the guard position? His first year in the league, after being All-American forward 3 straight years in college and winning the gold medal, he led the league in assists. I mean, it's to me, it's point guard shit. If you can't dribble the ball, if you can't shoot the ball, you ain't a guard. What's this point guard, shooting guard?
You can't forget about Pete Maravich. Pete Maravich was a great college basketball player. He was scoring
Pete Maravich was a guard. He wasn't a shooting guard. He wasn't a point of guard. Pete was a guard, okay? Quintessential, what I'm talking about. Pete could shoot the ball, and Pete could dribble the ball. Julius Erving told me nobody handled the ball better than Pete did in his day. But that's
exactly
my point. Pete could handle
Pete
the ball, and Pete could shoot the ball. Pete didn't need you to bring the ball up to him and pass him. Pete could bring the ball to himself, like Oscar Robertson could, like Jerry West could, like Walt Frazier and Earl Monroe and Lenny Wilkins and Bob Cousy. They could bring the ball the floor themselves. So, this point guard, shooting guard stuff, to me, is ludicrous. Ludicrous, Big A. Go ahead, Big A, finish.
Hey, Doc. So do you think the same rules still apply, like, today, or do you think that was just back in your day?
Oh, no. Well, today, it doesn't apply because you got point guard, shooting guard. He's a 1, he's a 2, he's a 3, he's a 4. Listen, gentlemen. The competition back in the day of Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, Walt Frazier, Earl Monroe, Bill Russell, Nate Thurman, it was better. Because Bill Russell told Michael Jordan, when John Paxson hit that shot to win the championship for him, he said, back in my day, he wouldn't have made that shot. And Jordan said, what do you mean? He said, because he wouldn't have been on the team. He would have been good enough to be on the team. You didn't have no scrubs. You didn't have no one-dimensional guys on the team. Come on. You know, one-dimensional guys on the team. And the competition was better because you played the best day in and day out. Day in and day out. Okay, you went to Boston. There's Russell. Okay, there's Havlicek. There's Sam Jones. There's Casey Jones. Now you go down to Philly. There's Chamberlain. There's Greer. There's Cunningham. There's Bradley. Now you go out to Cincinnati. There's Lucas. There's Oscar. Now you go to St. Louis. There's Pettit. There's Hyman, there's Lenny Wilkins. Now you go out west, there's Elgin Baylor, there's Jerry West. Then you go to San Francisco, there's Barry, there's Nate. The Lakers come in New York once a year. Once a year. The Lakers come to New York once a year, and the Knicks go out there once a year. The best ain't playing the best. Okay? Just like all the other sports, expansion has diluted the talent and the competition, because you don't play the best day in and day out. You don't. It's like back in baseball before you had expansion. You know, the best teams played each other redundantly. The best players do not play each other redundantly. Kobe and Shaq came into the Garden once a year. And the Knicks and the Lakers, Knicks went to the Lakers once a year. You ain't playing the best every day. Back in the old days, you played the best day in and day out. You saw Chamberlain, then you saw Russell, then you saw Thurman, then you saw Oscar, West, Bell. The best played the best redundantly. And there wasn't no one-dimensional guys. You had to be a basketball player. Because now, my forward got hurt. Lou Pete, you got to play forward tonight. Big A, you got to go to the guard spot tonight. It's not one, he's a two, he's a three. The best played each other redundantly. And if you look at the 50 greatest players, where do most of the 50 greatest players come from? From that era. Look at that era. Okay, Russell, Sam Jones, they came from that era. Okay, Chamberlain, Billy Cunningham, Hal Greer, Sixers, they came from there. We know Jewish, okay. L.A., there's West, there's Baylor, the Knicks, Frazier, Monroe, the Busher, Willis Reed, Frazier, Monroe, well, they had Lucas too, but, I mean, the competition was better. It was better. The best played the best redundantly. I mean, and when you, like I said, when you left Boston, wow, you ain't getting no break. You go down to Philly. I mean, you just had to deal with Russell and them. Now you got to go down and deal with Chamberlain. Then you go to New York. There's Bellamy and Willis Reed. Okay? Now you go out to St. Louis. There's Pettit. You go out to L.A. There's Baylor. There's West. Okay? Then you got to go fit. It's, I mean, but see, you got, I'm older than you guys. I'm blessed by God to see these things. You know, you guys, I mean, if you're around today and you tell me Jordan's the greatest ever, I can understand that. Jordan said he never felt that he was the greatest ever. But, you know, my point is that the competition was better in those days. And if you look at the 50 greatest players, where did a lot of them come from? They come from back in that era. I'm pretty sure at least half came from that era. The Knicks alone have six. I think they had Reed, the Busher, Frazier, Rowe, and Jerry Lucas. That's five from right there. Okay, you go to the Celtics. There's Russell, there's Sam Jones, there's John Havlicek. That's just three. They had Cousy. That's four. And who else did they have? So they had five. Bird. Okay, Bird's not from the era. So they got four. That's nine. Nine right there. Nine right there. We go down to Philadelphia. There's Hal Greer. There's Will Chamberlain. And there's Billy Cunningham. That's 12. That's 12. Okay. Now we go out to L.A. And there's the great Elgin Baylor and the great Jerry West. That's 15 already. Old school guys. We're talking about Nate Thurman. Okay. There's Jabbar. You know, the core of the guys. They went back to some old-time guys, too. But the competition was better. The best played the best redundantly. They don't do that today. They don't do that today. I remember they talked about the ABA. The ABA, well, you know, they got the three-point shot. Okay, what happened? First thing, soon they merged, they put the three-point shot in. Okay? Then they talked about, well, you know, everybody makes a playoff in the ABA. Everybody makes a playoff in the NBA now. Everybody makes a playoff. So, you know, the guys were just better. They were better. They were fundamentally better, like in baseball. In every sport, the old-timers were just better fundamentally players. Bob Gibson told me, the late, great Bob Gibson, he was stunned that pitchers didn't learn in the minor leagues how to turn and throw to second base. Okay? Didn't know how to turn and throw to second base off the mound. Off the mound. It's just remarkable to me. But, I mean, that's my thoughts, my theory. Well, that's the way it is. That's the way I feel about it. The greatest all-around player to play a game of basketball. I mean, you look at Oscar Robertson's numbers just from the fact that when he retired, he was the second highest scorer in the history of the game. Second highest scorer in the history of the game and number one in assists. That's a staggering stat. And understand, too, gentlemen, in Oscar's day, when Oscar passed the ball to you, Little Pete, and you stopped and shot a jump shot, he got no assists. And Big A, when he passed it to you and you held it, little stutter step went to the basket, he got no assist. When he passed the ball to you, Big A, you grabbed the ball and you went right to the hoop. He got an assist. If you didn't do that, he got no assist. And he told me, had they counted assists in his day, the way they do now, nobody would have caught him. He had four or five times a game, he had to pass the ball to somebody that shot a jump shot, at least four or five times a game. had defended. So he didn't get assists. And yet, when he retired, he was number one in assists and the second highest scorer in the history of the game. And the old-timers tell me, ask Dave DeBuscher, I said, Dave, if the Dipper was around today, could he average 50 points a game? And the great Dave DeBuscher, my buddy, slammed his glass down, gentlemen, and excuse the terms, like I call him a son of a bitch or something. He slammed his glass down, and he said, no, he'd get 70. Okay? Well, Frazier said the same thing. He gets 70. You can't touch a player today. In the old days, you could hand check. You could push. You can't do that today. You can't do that. And everybody's shooting threes. Nobody's playing back to the basket. You know, these guys have been shooting 30% from the three and 30% from the floor. I mean, this guy from McDonald's, 57% from the floor. That's fantastic. The Milwaukee Bucks, the whole team shot 50% when they won the championship. The whole team shot 50% from the floor. And all the stars in double figures. That ain't never happened since then. Never happened. I think the first team won 60 games 2 or 3 years ago. It just, the guys were better. Far better.
Doc, so basically now, what I was trying to say earlier was, what's it called? So, now, overall, the Michael Jordan era, you know, everyone played against each other. Like the Celtics, Bird played against Magic, you know what I mean, on the Lakers.
Little Pete, what are you telling me, Pete? What are you telling me, Little Pete? You're not listening to me, son.
Wait, you're not listening to me.
The best players don't play each other redundantly. How many times did the Celtics go out to play L.A. in the course of the season? What, two times maybe? Two times?
No, what I'm trying to say is that you had two superstars on the team at max because you had, I'll give you an example, okay? Magic and Kareem, Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, all right? Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen. What I'm trying to say about the LeBron situation is that I think LeBron, it was always LeBron versus the Warriors in the playoffs for the last 3 years, okay? 2015 to 2019, it was LeBron James versus the Warriors. And what I'm trying to explain to you is that the Warriors had five All-Stars on their team, all right? You didn't have more than two to three All-Stars on the team back then in Jordan's era. You know what I mean?
Yes, you did.
What five All-Stars did the Warriors have on their team? What five All-Stars did they have?
I'll give you an example. Doc, picture this team, okay?
No. Stop. What five All-Stars did the Warriors have on their team?
They have three All-Stars on their team. They have three All-Stars.
Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant. So two of those are MVPs. Draymond.
No. Let's forget Durant. Let's talk about before Durant got there. What five? Because they won 73 games without Durant. So what five All-Stars did they have on the team?
DeMarcus Cousins. Draymond
five.
Green, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson.
Forget Durant. I'm not talking about Durant was there. Okay, now when Durant was there, they had Durant, they had Thompson, they had Curry. But that wasn't a normal situation. That's an anomaly.
Playoffs without Durant were different, but when they added Durant and DeMarcus Cousins, that was a super team. The Nets right now are a super team because you have four awesome. I want you to pick.
Okay, but
you
know, here's
James
a question. No,
Kevin
you
Durant
know, super team what? The Nets. They just like when Durant went to the Warriors. Okay, he got hurt. He wasn't there. Crunch. I mean, you know, the super team. Even the Nets. The Nets are suspect. When Durant went there, you knew there's a possibility he could get hurt, which he had got hurt. We didn't know Harden was injury prone, but Kyrie's been injury prone. So there's, you know, it's super team. They didn't win the division. How super can they be? They didn't win the division. How super can they be? They didn't win the division. And the two slots up against the Knicks. That is the second. The Knicks were four.
There were injuries all year. Durant was injured.
That's the point I'm making.
You know, Kyrie,
that's just
Harden, they were all
I'm
injured
making.
At times. So technically,
that's
you know,
just
I, when
the
I was
point I'm
the,
making.
The Knicks, I mean, the Nets games, I was watching Harden play most of the time.
Nick,
and then Kyrie
Nick, you
was
know,
playing.
Nick, Joel Embiid missed 20 games for the Sixers. Their best player.
That's understandable, but if you think about it, the Nets, Kevin Durant is one of their main scorers.
Yeah, but what's the thing about
Durant
Lil Pete? What's
the
thing about? He missed 20 games, and his team still won the division. And they won the season series against the Nets. Well, there's nothing to think about. It's super. It's the super team. Come on. The super team. The 73-9 Golden State Warriors didn't win the championship. What's so super about that? The 73-9, up three games to one, didn't win the championship. What's on paper doesn't always reflect on the floor.
But here's what I'm trying to explain to you. Kevin Durant only played 35 games this season. So if you think about it, that's less than half of the season that Kevin Durant was in. All right? So if you think about it, that's like taking away that's just a key component player to that team. So if you think about it, Kevin Durant is one of their main scorers. So technically that could have been one of the reasons why they didn't win the division. Same thing with Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving played 54 games. That's 35 games missed from a key component point guard. So you got to think about the missing pieces. Joel Embiid missed 20 games. That's a lot of games. But if you think about it, the key components to the Nets, they missed crucial games. You know what I mean? Due to injuries and other.
The bottom line, they finished second. The bottom line, because injuries is part of the game. And now what the A has just told me, that they lost their best player for 20 games and still won the division. And now with the Nets, okay, you got Harden. So he should have been suffisive enough. When Irving wasn't there, when Durant wasn't there, he should have been suffisive enough. But my thing is, I'll take the players from yesterday over the players today, period. That's all. You know, you can have okay, the all-time All-Star team was Jabbar in the middle, Bird and Duncan up front, Michael and Magic on the ball. You can have them. You can have, because they don't beat Chamberlain in the middle, okay? They don't beat Elgin Baylor up front. Elgin Baylor beat Duncan, and Bird can't hold Baylor's job. Baylor averaged 27-13 career. 27-13 career. One year he averaged 38 points and 19 rebounds. That's the Elgin Baylor average. Greatest sport ever lived. Okay? So, you know what? You can have Duncan or Bird. I'll put Elgin up front. And, you know, and then I'll go ahead and stick Dr. J on the other side. But if you want Dr. Stay in this era, I'll put Pettit up there then. 26-16. I got 53 points. Okay? And 29 rebounds up front. You ain't got that out of Bird and Duncan. 23 rebounds up front is what I got. In the backcourt, you want Magic? Magic can't touch Oscar Robertson. Neither can Jordan. But okay, if you want, I'll put Magic back there. I got Oscar, 25.9 points a game lifetime. 25.9 points a game lifetime. Okay? I'm putting Will Chamberlain in the middle. So there's nothing that Chamberlain can do that Bar can stop him. And if you want, I'll put Bill Russell there instead. Bill Russell averaged 16 points and 22 rebounds a game. In the playoff time, he did a little better, 18 points and 30 rebounds a game. So you can have your guys today. They don't beat my guys of yesterday. Julius Erving said something. He said, my top five are the same top five I had at 15 years old I have now. I respect what Magic and Bird and Michael did to the game. But my top five is the same top five. And my top five is Chamberlain, Russell, Baylor, West, and Oscar Robertson. No team that played then, no team that plays now, no team that will ever play will beat that team. It's just that simple. You're not going to beat that team. Russell and Chamberlain, that's 40-something rebounds a game by themselves. 40-something rebounds a game by themselves. Oscar and West give me 52 points from the backcourt. Okay? So that tops whatever Magic and Jordan do. Okay? 52 points from the backcourt. 52 points from the backcourt. Well, Magic, I think Magic averaged 30 a game, no, 19-something, and Jordan averaged 7 a game. So I beat you with points. There's nobody you can put in the middle going to get you 20 rebounds. Okay, Elgin Baylor, like I just told you, he's 27-13. That beats Bird. I think Bird averaged 10 a game, rebounds, 23 points. So I got four more points. I got three more rebounds. I think Duncan averaged 19 a game and 14-15 rebounds. So Pettit beats him by a rebound and by five. You don't beat those guys. Oscar Robertson told me something. He said nobody ever scored 40 points. And if you play today's game where you can't touch them, Mike, you got no chance. But now, could they adjust to their game when you can't touch them, when you can't play the kind of defense that the bad boys, they said, was illegal, that the Pistons were bad, and yet the old time said that's the way you play the game. Gentlemen, you don't beat the guys from yesteryear, in my mind. They were better fundamentally. They were better. I got to look at the staff of the 50 greatest players, see how that lines up, how many of them old school guys. But like I said, the Knicks, all the 50 greatest players for the Knicks are old school guys. You know, we're talking about Frazier, Monroe, Willis Reed, Dave DeBuscher, and Lucas. Well, okay, Patrick Ewing's not. Patrick's kind of old school, not old school. But you go down to the Sixers, there's Cunningham, there's here. Cunningham, Chamberlain, Greer, they're all old school guys. Okay, you go out west, Baylor, West, old school guys. Barry, Thurman, from the Warriors, old school guys. You go to the Celtics, Sam Jones, John Havlicek, Bob Cousy, old school guys. St. Louis, Lenny Wilkins, Bob Pettit. Do a little history and understand that back in the old days, and Isaiah Thomas talked about that. Yeah, he had no NBA idols because the NBA only came on once a week. Now, you have to understand that I think the first year that Magic them played the NBA championship, it was tape delay. I mean, what's the NBA and ABA, said CBS? The NFL was more popular on television than basketball. A lot of people didn't see Pettit. They only saw Pettit because they played Boston on a Sunday, so Boston was always on TV. But the great players, how often did you see Oscar Robertson and Bob Pettit and Jerry West and Elgin Baylor? You know, today you see these guys redundantly. And I'm not, you know, they're great players. But I just don't see them beating my players. And I don't see them being better than my players. And my players got the better stats against tougher defense and better competition. Okay? Tougher defense and better competition. 27-13 Baylor, 26-16 Bob Pettit, 25.7 Oscar, 27 points a game. Jerry West, against better competition and better defense. And Chamberlain Russell, 22 rebounds a game is what they average. Career, 22 rebounds a game, every night. There's nobody that's played the game in your era that averaged 20 rebounds a game. There's nobody in your era that averaged, I think, 15 rebounds a game. Oh, if they may have, but still, nobody got to 17. Baylor had a year where he averaged 19. Different time, different era, different players. But my thing is that my guys played against stiffer competition day in, day out, and stiffer defense. It's just that's just the way it was. Super teams. You know, people thought the Celtics was a super team because they had Bill Russell, one guy. Sixers was a super team because they had one guy, Will Chamberlain. Cincinnati, one guy, Oscar Robertson. Lakers, okay, they had Bill and West. But, you talk about super team. But I'm saying, you're talking about the Nets. It's not the league's fault they got hurt. But what Big A said, they lost their number one guy for 20 games and still won the division. Which means I got to look at Doc Rivers and get some coaching consideration there as coach of the year. Doc said he's supposed to be Blog Talk Radio, Trust in God Radio Network. It's the Big A, and Lou Pete. I got a call. He's joining me. 716.
Hi, this is Darnell Collier. How are you?
How you feeling?
How you doing?
I'm okay. I just want to say that I'm enjoying listening to you, and I'm not going to keep you long, but thank you. And I'll be watching.
Oh, yeah. You got a question for us?
No. I just want to say hello and let you know that I was listening, and I'm enjoying the conversation.
Okay, so we can count you as a regular listener, so we'll let you know the next time we're on.
Say that again, sir.
So you'll join us the next time we're on. We'll give you a call, next time we're on, you can listen again.
Yes, I will. Yes, I will.
Okay, we'll give you a call.
So
thanks so much, ma'am.
Okay, thank you, Doc. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, good to have you listening in. I'm Lou Pete. I got to thank you and the Big A for your conversation. For starting this whole thing. Love it. But, Jim, we're going to roll now. Hey, good to get that call there. Trusting that Blog Talk Radio, Trusting Government. Gentlemen, do we have an update on that Knicks score? Let me see if I can get one for us real quick.
It's 105-103. The Hawks are winning with 20 seconds left.
Okay, there it is. Can't beat it, baby. Sports and Death gets it to you right here, baby. 105-103, 20 seconds left. Who's got the ball, a Big A?
The Randall. Derrick Rose just tied the game up with a floater. 9.8 seconds left on the clock.
There you go. We may have overtime here in the first game. How fitting would that be? Knicks first playoff game in 8 years in the Garden, overtime. Wow. Thanks a lot, the Big A. Dr. Sandy, supposed to be at Blog Talk Radio, Trust and God Network. Marvin Gaye has this to say. Before, gentlemen, we're going on our way. The Big A and Little P.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world and just spare. Who really cares? There'll come a time,
there'll come a time,
when the world won't be singing,
when the world won't be singing,
flowers won't grow,
flowers won't grow, no,
bells won't be ringing,
no, bells won't be ringing,
who really cares? Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
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 Live for life.
Live for life. But let's live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live.
Let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want them, you got them. Save the babies. Oh, the blood of fear. You got feeling. You will save the babies. All of the children.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here.
Little Pete and
Sports In-Depth panel is here.
Okay, left me. I thought
I
they were going to hang on a little longer, but good to have him on the show. Dr. Sandy, Sports In-Depth Blog Talk Radio.
We the Trust in God Radio Network. And the store that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Dr. Sandy. Take it away, good Dr. Sandy.
Yeah, I lost little Pete and Big A. Yeah, Marvin Gaye chasing him away. But we're getting ready to roll at the end of the show. And hope you enjoyed it. And we thank our caller, too. Make sure you join us next time at 706-579-0308. Number down. On next time. Dr. Sandy, Sports Death, Bob Tuck Radio, Trust and Garden Network. And, Good This portion of Sports and Death brought to you by Megacare. We go everywhere because your prescription is our first care. And Sam, leather repair. 65th Street between 2nd and 1st Manhattan, along with Mike's Watches, Watch Repair. So, need your watch repaired? Your shoes done? Mike's Watch Repair? Sam's Leather Repair. And Megacare goes everywhere in the Bronx. So, hey, everywhere in the five boroughs. Megacare goes everywhere because your prescription is our first care. We'll be on our show and our sponsors on this segment of Sports and Death Blog Talk Radio. Us and God.
Yeah. I was walking down the street in a little old country town. I saw a rusty penny half buried in the ground. As I reached down to pick it up, I saw beneath the rust these words, just barely visible, "In God we trust." I held it for a moment, then suddenly I knew what God, in all his wisdom, would have me say and do. He used this worthless penny to make me understand that life is not worth living without the Master's hand. Unless in God we trust. And then I heard a still small voice within me whisper, very clear, "Be still and know that I am God. And I'm always near. When all your dreams come tumbling down around you in the dust, remember this lost penny and place in me your trust."
Little Pete and Big A join Doc this evening talking NBA. Sports in Depth is an in-depth, informative, educational, historical look world of sports on this now the legendary award-winning radio show Sports in Depth. Adversities with both a daily and historical perspective, bringing also forth an in-depth look respecting not only sports of our times but two of the players and performers of the said events both now and yesteryear. Sports in Depth, aka SID, also brings us the unique strategies of sports as a perspective, not just athletics. It takes raw, God-given talent, listening, and two takes, God bless you, with passion, determination, intellect, even competing and accomplishing, too. It's the in-depth knowledge and divergent intellect of Doc's iconic posse. Sports in Depth is, too, World in Depth. Thanks for joining us once again, where we broke the rumors, the issues, and the truth. You're all here. That's why I did ask you to all pray. Respect Lothar Crawford and family as he... this past week lost his beloved son. Our prayers are similar to God to him and his family, lovely Patty. There's a difference between liking you very much and loving you a little, as liking you a little, loving you a lot. What's on paper doesn't always reflect the flaw. There'll be a lot of things, and what God desires is number one. People will bait you and dupe you into thinking they don't know. It is you that doesn't really know. Doc sent his words of wit, wisdom, and truth, a.k.a. Jews Luigi's words of wealth. Doc Sunny, sports of the Block Talk Radio and Trust in God Network. Our prayers go out to Buffett family, thank Blue Pete and Big A, all in guests there. Very good here for you, lady. Doc Sunny, sports of the Block Talk Radio and Trust in God Network. and abide in my heart. God bless you all. Trust in God. Trust in Death. Blog Talk Radio. Trust in God Radio Network. Trust in God.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.